give us the strength. You give us the words. Lord, I thank you that you're right there, ready to answer our cries for help, ready to come beside us. And in fact, the most incredible thing is you never left us. Oftentimes it's our cries that we realize, we look over and you're right there. You never left. You never abandoned. And so, Lord, today I am grateful and in love with the fact that I get to call you my God, to know who you are despite everything around us, despite everything I am. Lord, I thank you for who you consistently show yourself to be. So, Father, we love you in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Love it. And great song choice today, by the way. I know we didn't talk much, but I like the way this is going already. This is good stuff. The Lord is at work. Good morning. Morning. I hope you guys had an awesome Easter. I hope you guys had a great time. Maybe you were with family. Maybe you did, you know, the Zoom Easter, whatever you end up doing. I hope and pray that you guys had an awesome Easter celebrating Christ and who he is in our lives. So 2 weeks ago for Palm Sunday, I had a message, and I'm just going to plug it. Not because I want you to go back and listen to me, because I can't stand going back and listening to myself, but maybe check out the notes. The notes are good. But I talked about unmet expectations, and it's really cool how this is all working in together. And I had my phrase there, and I'm not going to even finish it today, but you guys, if you've heard that message, if you've heard me preach before, you know my feeling on God's timing. And so today I find myself in a interesting and unique spot. If you wanted notes, if you go to the webpage and look for notes, yeah, you get a title and a verse. Actually, a couple verses. That's all you're getting today. That's almost all I'm getting today for this, which is going to be unique. It puts me in a weird, weird position. I have some notes written down. But I find it funny the way God's timing works, because back in the beginning of January, he laid the target for this message on my heart. I knew the verse, and I knew kind of an object lesson's happened with it, and I knew a bit of where it was going to go. And I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, we're doing this, right? We're going in January. We've got this message that you have for us. And he's like, no. I'm like, all right, that's fine. We'll do February. February is a great time to let this message be. And he goes, no. I'm like, should I start working on the notes? Nope. So you gave me the target, you gave me the plan, no notes. All right, March is where you're looking at this thing. There you go. We're gonna lead up to Easter with this. He goes, no. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Seriously, it's just, I'm like, what is happening here? And then towards the end of March, Kurt and I were talking, and boom, it fell on today. And I'm like, all right, there we go. And the title of today's message is going to be Pure Joy, and I really strongly thought about changing today's message from being titled Pure Joy or Pure to Resistance. Because the last week has met so much resistance towards this message. And again, you'll see why. You'll understand as we go through. But it is insane to me how much resistance has happened over the last week about making this happen. And so last night, at 8 o'clock, he goes, okay, I'm unleashing the floodgates. Here's the information for you. So at 9 o'clock, I'm typing the notes out for this thing. And I'm like, there's not a chance I'm going to get notes out for anybody else at this point. At 11 o'clock, I close my computer, and I'm like, I'm not even done with my own notes. I'm like, all right, Lord, Sunday's going to be interesting. People are either going to throw stuff at me, or they're going to walk out excited. And I'm hoping, I'm trusting, it's the later. Because it's funny how the resistance works. Because I'm like, all right, Satan, are you trying to stop something here? Or God, are you trying to stop something? We all know if God wants to stop something, there's no way we can push through. He's like, no, I've got a plan. But it's interesting how much trying to get tripped up. And it was funny because earlier this week I was talking with Dave Pearson, and we were talking just about these obstacles. We were talking about these frustrations. And he so pointed out the fact that, you know, oftentimes God knows what's coming up. Actually, always, God knows what's coming up in front of you. And so he gives you this verse, this portion of scripture. He didn't even know where I was going, but he knew that God had given me this scripture for this time, for this moment. And as I dug in, as I kept reading it, as I kept reading it over this last week, I realized my struggle was the fact that I'm to stand up here and share what God has for you in this portion of Scripture. And at that moment, I almost felt like it would be hypocrisy, because it'd be something where I'm saying, here's what you're supposed to do. I can't do it myself. And I didn't want that. And it's funny, because I've had so many people tell me too after a lot of the messages, they're like, man, that was so personal. I'm like, you know why it was personal? Because the stuff that I give to you is stuff that God's dealing with in me. It's not a, look at me, I've got it all figured out. But it is really cool when God makes it real for you, so that when you can share with others, it's genuine, it's real, it's authentic. It's not a canned answer. It's not, here, let me find the right exact words I'm supposed to use. Let's see, in this Christianese language, God put a hedge of protection around you. I don't know what that means, but I'm telling you that's what you have. You know, no, he wants you to be able to share because you've experienced it. He wants you to share because it's something you've lived. He wants you to share because it's what he's doing in your life. And the cool thing is, that's our testimony. Maybe your testimony is your salvation testimony. Maybe it is how God did something in your life that drastically changed that moment. It could seem so small and insignificant, but he did it for you. It could be the largest life-changing event ever in your life, and he did it for you. When I was on a youth with a mission group called GX Jam, it was skateboarders, rollerbladers, BMX bikers, and it was an interesting group. We had a lot of fun going around. But I remember it was when I was struggling with my identity as a Christian, because I had grown up in the church and I believed all my life. I accepted Jesus at a young age. This is what I've done. And there's these guys up there, and it's so easy to judge them. You know, they had the crazy colored hair, and, you know, they were 90s skaters and stuff like that, so you could just picture the baggy pants and everything. And some of these guys had testimonies that would just shake you, testimonies that would bring you to tears about the things in life they had experienced. And I remember talking with one of them one time. I'm like, man, your testimony is so powerful. I wish I had a powerful testimony. And he looked at me and goes, Charles, don't ever say that. He goes, your testimony is powerful because it's yours. There is nothing wrong with this saying you grew up in church and you grew up believing. You didn't have to go through this stuff. He goes, in fact, I wish I could trade it, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm glad I went through it because of how great God is. He has shown me how powerful and how wonderful he is. He's like, don't trade your experiences, because your experiences with him were designed for you. So we get to have a testimony, the things that we've lived, the things we've experienced. So I got this glass, this vase right here of water. It's good water. You know, it's so cool to think when God created the world, it was perfect. He sat there and he said, it is good. It is good, it is wonderful, it is perfect, it is awesome. He creates man and woman are on the planet doing everything he's asked. It is good. We're going to get back to this. We're looking at James today. Very end of your Bible. Oh, not quite the end, but really close to the end. James 1 is where we're at. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. It's a tough portion, because James is blunt. I like that. I need blunt. You give me the long, flowery description, I get lost in the details, I get confused and stuff like that. James is just like, guys, here it is. James 1, verses 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And I thought, I was looking at this, I'm going, oh, okay, we could keep going further, and we could keep going further with this. I think the Lord's putting a stopping point on that. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. It's funny, I thought last night as the Lord was dealing with all these trials and I was finding joy and everything, and we'll explain how we get there, but I'm like, all right, we're moving in the right direction. Get here this morning and there's internet problems like crazy. Always on a Sunday when I'm preaching. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. So I have my old notes, which I have some older stuff. I've got my new notes because I can't print anything currently. I don't know how we're streaming, but we are. So that's a God thing right there. When we're having internet problems but can stream, go figure. But he's keeping me on my toes right now. He's keeping me on the edge going, all right, Lord, what are you going to do? How am I supposed to trust you? How are we supposed to do this? But consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. The joy that we're supposed to experience isn't the trial itself. It's not to sit here and say, hey, guys, go out and find the craziest, worst things that you can find yourself. Put yourself there, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be joy. No, that's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying at all. But rather what you get from the trial. It's what you get going through the trial. In trials, we learn to lean on what we believe, or we throw what we believe out the window. And what I mean by that is suddenly when things get real, when things get hard in our lives, what are you going to do? Do you trust God? Do you trust the scriptures that you've been taught? Or do you say, you know what, I've got to figure this out. And today, I don't know what your trials are. Your trials could be a trial on top of a trial on top of a trial on top of a trial. Maybe it's you're waiting for the test results from a scan. Maybe your vehicle is just taking you down. You need it fixed, but you can't get it fixed, and you need to go to work, and you're stuck. You're trying to figure this out. Maybe your house is falling apart. Maybe the income is not coming in. Maybe it's a family relationship. Maybe it's a devastating news that you just received about somebody. Maybe it's the wear and tear of all this COVID that's been going on with our society. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's whatever it is that is a trial for you in this moment where you find yourself hurting. You find yourself stuck. You find yourself anxious. You find yourself worrying. You find yourself stressed out. Because what is this thing in front of you? And you look at it and you say, I'm supposed to find pure joy in this? And I love how the NIV uses that, pure joy. Different versions will say great joy. There's a few other terms used in there. But we're not talking just something simple and something itty-bitty. We're talking something big. We're talking something great. We're talking something that is far bigger than us. So going back to even the 2 weeks ago about unmet expectations, do you believe it's the circumstances that are in control, or is it God that's in control? Because in the middle of our circumstances, it can sometimes be hard. It's easy to send out the prayer, but it's sometimes so hard to say, Lord, I do trust you in this. You see, his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are wider than our ways. Where were we when he laid the foundations on the earth? He does things different than us. So when we find ourselves in a trial, it's not that he's abandoned us. It's not that he's running us through some little experiment just for fun. Because I love later on in James, it also says that God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt us. So it's not like God's going, all right, I am going to tempt you right now so bad. No, that's Satan doing that. But God's going, I know you can trust me. You know I'm right next to you. You know I'm there for you. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by our trials. It's so easy to get overwhelmed by our circumstances. And all we do is we throw a Hail Mary prayer. We're like, Lord, please help me. Just help me. We do it out of desperation, hoping that maybe he hears it at just the right moment and saves us from it. But he shouldn't be our Hail Mary. He should be our first. Not the last second, not the last hope, fingers crossed, that maybe, just maybe, he's going to squeak it out. But knowing that he's in control. Instead of letting circumstances dictate how we feel, let us cling to the joy of who Jesus is and what he's done and what that ultimately means. And I think a great look at that is Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him, Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us. He wants us to be able to stand in circumstances and say, circumstances, I don't like you, but I got Jesus. Because I never realized this, and I don't have, this is not a scriptural definition unless somebody else can find it and I just didn't see it. Joy is a weapon. I want you to think about this for a second. Joy is a weapon. It is a weapon that you get to have in hand when you face trials. You see, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to take you down. He wants you to get tangled up. In fact, when, like I said, when God created the earth, when Jesus was there, and the Holy Spirit, they spoke and the world was pure. It was perfect. It was wonderful. It was drinkable. But he comes in. He goes, I don't like that. And he throws some weight in there that's just going to be nasty. You guys, thank you, Will, and thank you, John. Rocks had some fir needles in them. That's gross. I don't want that. Will, you want to drink this? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. But Satan comes in and goes, yeah, God, that's your world now. I've taken your pure world and I've thrown a kink in this. I have hijacked it. I have made it not pure. And he looks at each of us and he goes, your family, I'm gonna sprinkle some more dirt in that thing. Yeah, that's gross. I don't even know where you guys got this stuff from, but it's nasty. This one's got big old chunks of fir needles in here. So now, it floats, by the way. Satan goes, yeah, we're going to mix this up. We're going to make this week really hard for you. You know, and then that icing, that cherry on top is a nice pine cone right there. You see, Satan comes in, he goes, I'm going to take what is pure and I am going to make this thing muddy. I'm going to make it burned. I'm going to make it gross. I'm going to make it disgusting. And what are you going to do about it? He tries to do that with our lives. He goes, that cancer? Guess what? Yeah, you're God's child. Look what I've done to that. He goes, that loss of a job, that family discord, all those things. This is what I'm doing to your life for you. But joy can strike down the things that entangle you. It was great. The other day, one of our neighbors was working on some sticker bushes. You guys, how many of you guys have ever cut through sticker bushes? Yeah. Anybody ever tried to run through sticker bushes? I didn't try to run. I flew through sticker bushes over here when I was going to school here. The soccer ball was going towards the pond area. I tried to save the soccer ball. I did make the save. And then I landed in the stickers. And they will stop you, by the way. They will keep you from rolling further. It's a lot of blood. A lot of blood that day. But you know, when you're facing sticker bushes, you have a machete in your hand. You might take some blows. You might have some blood loss. But those things don't stand a chance against you. When you're facing trials that are trying to snare you and entangle you and take you down and mess your day up to stop you from getting from here to where God wants you, you have joy as a weapon. Joy to cut through those things. It's not easy. The sticker bushes still aren't fun. The sticker bushes still are an annoyance and a frustration and can feel like they never end. And they grow back. That's where you move 10 feet, you look behind you, they're already sprouting back up again. You're like, I already took you down. Trials in our life. I meant to do this too. You know, Satan's gone, yeah. I chewed that and spit that in there. Mint water now. Yeah, just a little mint to make you think you're enjoying it, but no, you're not going to enjoy that. The Lord gives me a message with a bullseye of going through trials and having pure joy, and a week is filled with trials. To the point where at the beginning of the week, I was like, oh man, maybe I just need to call Peter and just have him preach. And then it suddenly hit me, and I'm like, no, God has told you to talk on this message. It's been delayed. And he says, now is when I want you to preach it. And now is the week that he goes, here's some trials. Oh, and when you get there Sunday morning, don't worry. The internet's not going to work correctly. It's okay. You can't print out your notes. It's okay. You're not going to use your notes anyway. Thank you, Lord. This is good. I like this. I like what he's doing. I have notes here, but I don't even know if I'm really using them. So we're supposed to experience pure joy as we're going through these trials. Verses 3 and 4, perseverance. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. One of the words that stood out for me in there is mature. God's saying, don't be immature. Don't be immature. You see, when I was facing the trials, when I'm sitting here going, I just need to have Peter do it, I'm being an immature kid. I'm like, this is dumb. I don't like this week. This week's hard. Really, Lord? I'm supposed to preach and it's a hard week. I don't want to do this. Right? That's being immature. I was being like a kid. It's sad when your daughter looks at you and goes, Dad, quit acting like a child. And I'm like, I'm not acting. But it's true. We become children. We become so self-focused and self-centered. We're like, I don't like this anymore. I want to be done with this. He says, persevere. Push on. Don't quit. And I don't like these verses. Because if you know me, like my wife knows me, we start these exercise programs. We're like, all right, here we go. This is good. Start getting results. It's like, I'm tired. I'm done. I want rock hard abs, but I just want to sit on the couch and eat potato chips. Because that's the truth in life. We want things. We want our business to be successful. Your business is not successful by just sitting there going, all right, Google, you do the cool stuff. I'm just going to make a little web page. We'll see if it even works. No, you got to get out there. You've got to work. You got to try hard. You want a diet. Guess what? You got to start and you got to work at this thing. You see that little junk food that you really like, Swedish fish for me? It's like, I could have one or two handfuls. You know, the classic thing, you go into the gym, you make the New Year's resolution, you're like, all right, this year I'm going to be in shape. And you go and you go and you go. And then there's one day where you're like, it's been good. We've been doing this for 2 weeks. Let's take one day break. 6 months later, you're going, wow, I haven't gone back. That's not good. Relationships. Relationships with your spouse, relationship with God. It takes work. You can't sit here and just go, cool, I love you. And you have the best relationship in the world. No, it doesn't work that way. You must persevere. You must continue on to become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Immaturity is quitting and thinking that you're going to get the same results as if you persevered. That is immature thinking. And God says, I want you to be mature and complete. You're going to have to push on. 1 Peter 1, 6-9. In all this, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, and when he's talking a little while, he's talking the fact that we just spend a little while on earth. We're just a small little time here, but it feels like an eternity for us while we're here. But though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. Again, small, large, one at a time, a dozen at a time, 100 at a time. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we persevere, we are creating praise to God. We're saying, I am not going to quit. I am not going to let Satan stop me from getting to where I'm supposed to go. He's called me. I don't like this. This is hard, but I'm going to trust him in this process. I have an eternal reward. I am praising him through this and genuinely showing what I truly believe. I'm going to be mature. I'm not going to be immature. And my nature is very immature. Every one of us, our nature is so bent to go immature. But I'm going to be mature in this. You must see the trial through to gain the result that he has for you. There are no shortcuts. You look at the Bible, cover to cover. We have so many examples of people who try to take a shortcut. It doesn't go well. Sorry, there's a spoiler there for you. It doesn't go well. You have to push on. You have to endure. You have to say, all right, Lord, you're taking me through this. We don't like it. We don't understand it. But my joy is in you. My joy is not in the circumstance. And my joy is also the fact that you are being praised because of this and what you're going to do for me at the other end of this. And hopefully none of us have to go through trials like Daniel being thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before a blazing furnace and being told, just take a knee. Take a knee, you don't go in. But I love their response. They say, our God's going to save us. And if he doesn't, guess what? We're going to heaven. This is good. That is pure joy right there, my friends. When they were in the middle of a trial, they knew, sure, this is going to hurt. This is not fun. Nobody wants third-degree burns like that. But they knew the end result. And God was glorified. They were made complete through this process. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts on it. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let go of the I can do it myself attitude. Because how many times do we sit here and we get into a trial, we're like, all right, again, that Hail Mary thing we ask God at the end, because we're like, I can do this. I can come over here. That pine cone, that's an easy one. Yeah, there we go. I can do it. I can clean up this mess my own. Yeah. The rocks are at the bottom. They don't matter. It's okay. We don't have to, those are sins that we don't have to address. They're okay. They're, no worries. They're trials that are, here you go. Will, you want to drink it now? Look how much I cleaned up. Well, why not? You don't want to drink that. That's gross. Let go of the I can do it myself attitude. Ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. Trials are constantly filled with questions, concerns, anxiety, worry. Things where you're like, I don't know how to handle this. And God goes, I do. Ask. I'm right here. I have not left you. I've not abandoned you. Sure, this looks nasty. Sure, this looks gross. I gotcha. What do you want? Let me help you. And I love it. He loves us so much, he gives without finding fault. 1 John 1, 2 through 1 through 2. My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. Oh boy, I'm already out in that one. But if anybody does sin, okay, if anybody sins, I'm definitely there. We're good. Okay. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. When we're facing trials and we ask God, he rightfully could sit here and say, you know what? You've disobeyed me. You've broken my commands. But Jesus is sitting there going, oh, Dad, not that one. That one, we've worked it out on the cross. That one, oh, he loves us so much. We have the atoning sacrifice to make it so that the Lord, the creator of everything, who spoke into being, who created a pure and perfect world, sits here and says, I see no fault. Here's your wisdom. Here's what you need. Here's my helping hand, because I love you so dearly. Jesus took care of it. That slate is wiped clean. You will have the things that you need. You will have the wisdom that you need. Jesus paid the price for us. I love that. And because he paid the price, God gives generously without finding fault. So when you don't know what to do, when you find yourself struggling, when you find yourself going, I have to stand in front of a congregation and preach in less than 12 hours, on something that I still don't have notes for, Lord, I thank you that you're going to give me that. I thank you that you have the wisdom. And he goes, guess what? I've got it for you. And in fact, I've had it for you all week. In fact, I've had it for you the last 40 years. I'm showing you time and time again, I'm right here for you through every trial, through every bump, bruise, physical thing, mental thing, whatever it is that you come across, I am here for you. You can have pure joy because of that. This is the bummer news right here. Just because you're a believer does not mean you get some superhero suit that allows you to like deflect bullets. You stand there and they'll bounce off, ding, 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 ding. You know, it's not going to happen. There's no safety net that goes where the Lord's like, cool, you're a believer, nothing's getting through this thing. Unfortunately, the exact opposite tends to be the case. You're doing what he wants. He goes, Satan's like, huh, I don't like this anymore. And I want you to think about this. That whole sticker bush thing, what I'm saying with that one is the fact they're meant to slow you down. They are designed to entangle you and snarl you. Maybe not take you out, but stop you. If Satan can stop you, if he can take that joy away from you, if he can make you just think about your own situation and your own hurts, your own pains, your own struggles, he doesn't have to worry about you sharing the good news with anybody else. He's like, how can I take you down? How can I slow you down? I don't have to kill you. I just got to slow you down. And so the more good you're doing, the more Satan's going, oh, I got to find a way to do this. I'm going to sprinkle some more. You tried to clean that out? Yeah. Yeah, I'll put more dirt in there. And he keeps doing that. He keeps trying to muddy it. He keeps trying to do things. And it hurts. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience pain. We're going to experience struggles. It hurts. It's hard. However, we have a Father who, when trials comes, is our source of joy. He's our source of wisdom. He's our source of everything that we could ever need. He's there to filter the garbage out. And I love the fact, you guys are going to think I'm nasty. $5, I'll drink this? No, I don't do it. That's gross. So when the Lord was leading this verse on my heart, he gave me the verses, and he gave me one object lesson with it. He goes, you're going to do this. I'm like, seems kind of weird. It's almost like a little infomercial here to show you how great our product is. But there's this thing called a life straw. And a life straw, what it does is it filters out the nastiness. It filters out the bacteria. It filters out the germs, the viruses, and everything so that you could drink water that's not pure. Our world's been turned into this because of what Satan likes to do. But God goes, through me is where things are pure. So I got this cool little straw here. He's doing it. He's doing it. Goes in. Yeah, it does. I got a little dirt. No, I don't have any dirt in my teeth. It works. It does a great job. I taste nothing nasty. It is designed to give you pure water. And though it might be flawed and it gets out 99.9%, I got that 0.1%, of course. The opportunity's there. And you're like, ha ha, there you go. You got that. But the truth is, he filters things out for you if you look through the lens of who God is. Think about that. This world's jacked up. This world is hard. This world is filled with trials. It's filled with tribulations. But if God couldn't filter it out, what type of God would he be? He's there saying, just drink from me. Literally taking that verse way too literally here, but all who come to me will never thirst again. He loves us. He is our source of joy. The nasty water isn't what defines it. It's who God is. And God's going, I'll filter this for you. And when I do, perseverance is going to do its work. And when you do, joy is going to happen. And when you do, oh, we have a great relationship. We have a relationship where you trust me and I'm here to show you that I love you. No matter how tough things get, we're going to party together. We've got eternal life together because of the fact that I love you and I've paid the price for you. Your trials, they're going to seem huge. They're going to seem like they stop you from all sorts of things. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's again, there's so many things that it could be. God's sitting there going, pure joy is found in it. Trust me. So today, my closing thoughts for you, no matter how many or how big your trials are, dwell in him. Live in him. Don't just glance at him. Dwell in him, and you will find pure joy. It's not easy. Somebody who's speaking on this can go an entire week going, what am I supposed to do with this? But he goes, guess what? There's joy at the end. And last night, it was the greatest thing. Right at 9 o'clock, when I started writing my notes, I start laughing. I text Dave. I'm like, Dave, I found it. And he's like, joy? Yes, I found joy. When I've been down and out and acting like an immature child for a week, I sit here and go, I found it. I'm so excited. I was giddy. Like the girls that were all having a slumber party at our house, they were all giddy and talkative and stuff like that. Like, I found joy. I found it. So excited because he revealed it. Because he goes, I am bigger than all circumstances. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are our filter. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our advocate. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us up and guiding us and leading us. Oh, Father, we don't like the trials, but I thank you that you are in the trials with us. I thank you that you are there to help us find joy when Satan only wants to take us down. Let us hold true to who you are, and let us hold firm the weapon of joy to take down everything that tries to strangle us and burden us. In your name, Father, amen. Amen. Go and have a great rest of your day.